Hello, everyone. I will be referring to Paul's letter to the Roman church today. The passage is Romans 8, verses 1 to 11. I will not be following it verse by verse, but it might help to have it open as I may refer to it as I speak. Let us pray. Lord, write your word on our minds and on our hearts. Help us to understand your word and to live by it. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I really want to examine what it means for you and I to be in Christ Jesus. That is, to be fully justified and to have no condemnation. Some of you, I'm sure, need less reminding of this than others. For some, it may not have happened yet. You may not be quite there. For some, it may still be a new thing. And something that has not sunk in yet properly. For others, it may be something you continually revel in, rejoice in, and relax in. And for others, myself included, it may be something you sometimes still forget, even after years of learning. I want all of us, though, to realize and to remember what this means. There is now no condemnation for us. And this is where it starts. Verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. It looks like it might possibly be the beginning of the end of lockdown. I don't want to guarantee that, of course. And we are starting to emerge from our little caves and our little worlds. I think many of us have found it hard and are now finding themselves fragile and perhaps rather battered. In lockdown, we have had more time to dwell on our inner lives, being on our own more. This can be great. It can be a good thing. It can be a time to spend with God. But I've found it can be hard too. For me, one of the mixed blessings has been the amount of time I have had to examine myself, to think about my behaviour, to have those conversations in my head. You know the ones. How often do you start the day with a commitment to do better? Asking God to help you do better, be better. And how often in the evening do you look back at the day, disappointed with your failures? I know I do, and I tell myself off. I tell myself to buck up. I get cross with myself, and then I even get cross about being cross. It would be funny if it didn't happen quite so often. And of course, I drag God into it. I ask God, please, please make me better. I ask him to make it easier for me to be good and to give me more willpower. Preaching to ourselves like this is common. The pastor and author Tim Keller calls these mini sermons. When we preach to ourselves in this way, we need to get our perspective right. And there are two types of mini-sermon. Law-based mini-sermons are the ones I've been talking about. Preaching about what we need to do and how we have failed. Holding ourselves up against God's law and finding the faults. Criticising ourselves. When we do this, when we put ourselves at the centre and at the same time put our sin at the centre, when we use God's law to beat ourselves up, we're getting it fundamentally wrong. And I know I do this far more frequently than I should. And I can still get myself in a complete state until I remember these words. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation, not now and not ever again. It will not come back. Paul doesn't write, there is now no daily condemnation, and it will be cleared down at the end of the day, but then it might come back again. And we're not polished up when we repent and then gradually get grimy and dirty in God's eyes, just so that we can repeat a depressing cycle of repentance and sin. Now, shall I tell you something truly, truly wonderful? Shall I tell you something that knocks my socks off, that makes me weep with joy? I may have told you this before, it's quite possible, and if I have, I make no apology, because it is absolutely bonkers and it is absolutely beautiful. It is this: when God looks at me, he sees Jesus. When I've had a terrible day, I've been cross and mean and selfish, I've been lazy and unkind, I've been thoughtless and unloving, still, when God looks at me, he sees Jesus. I know I cannot make myself right by following God's law, but I know that because God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to take all my nastiness, all my selfishness and meanness, all my rebellion and pride and all my sin, and in his death on the cross, accept the condemnation that was due to me, I am free. This is the second type of mini sermon. This is a mini sermon of grace. The focus is not on you and me, it's not on our sin, the focus is on Jesus. The focus is not even on right and wrong, it is not even on loving our neighbours. The focus is on Jesus and what he's done for us. Yes, to others as well, this is absolutely the message, what Jesus has done. This is what we need to be telling them. This is what we need to let people know, what Jesus has done. But we also need to preach this grace, this forgiveness, to ourselves. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I know that I am clean and shiny in God's eyes. I know that my Lord Jesus took my sin and paid for it in full. My past sin, my current sin, and my future sin. I know God loves me. I know I am saved by Jesus. If you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit lives in you. Fact. In verse 9, Paul writes, "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ." When we first come before God as the pathetic, broken creatures we are, and tell him we're sorry, that time when we recognize Jesus as our Lord and commit our lives to him, it is at that point the Holy Spirit moves in. At that point, the Holy Spirit moves in and begins to work in our hearts. And from that point, we begin to change. There are no partially qualified Christians. John Stott, one of my favourite people, puts it like this: there may be many further and richer experiences of the Spirit and many anointings of the Spirit for special tasks, but the personal indwelling of the Spirit is every believer's privilege from the beginning. The gift of the Spirit is initial and universal. When we become Christians, when we say the big yes to Jesus Christ, our lives are changed in a fundamental way, and we are no longer controlled by the sinful nature, by our flesh, by the corruptness that is ourselves, by our corrupt and broken mortality. We're no longer controlled by that. Instead, we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit who descended on Jesus at his baptism has been sent into our hearts. As Paul writes, our minds are changed. What we mind changes. What we care about, what matters to us, changes. Paul wrote that through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit has set us free from the law of sin and death. We don't need to fear the law anymore. Our success or failure in keeping to it have nothing to do with our place in God's family. And it doesn't matter what we think or feel about this. In his first letter, John writes the following. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and he knows everything. We simply don't know ourselves as well as God does. And to God, we look like Jesus. And God's law remains central to our lives as Christians. No condemnation does not mean we stop caring about God's law. God's law is vitally important. It is also wonderful and beautiful. Let me remind you what Jesus said about God's law. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbour as yourself. This is God's law. And I've honestly never met a Christian who says, cool, now I'm saved. I don't have to bother with loving people. That's great. I can do what I like. Every Christian I know has found that grace leads to a greater desire to keep God's law. The more we accept God's grace, the more we put our trust in that and not in our actions, the more we put his grace at the center of our lives, the more we find the Holy Spirit moving us to love God and moving us to love our neighbors. We are set free from the law of sin and death. We don't follow it for itself anymore. We know we can't make ourselves right with God, but we also know all our failures are wiped out and we're free from being condemned. And this is more than just a glorious safety net. It is a glorious safety net, but it's more than that. It is freedom to act, freedom to do God's will without anxiety, without worry. We're free now to follow the law without fear. And as we do, we are free to become more holy, more like Jesus. John Stott again wrote this, "Our holiness is the ultimate purpose of the incarnation and the atonement. That is God's plan for us, to make us more like Jesus." And as we work on our Christ-likeness, the law is still there to point us in the right direction. And the Holy Spirit guides our minds as we focus on the grace of God. So do not condemn yourselves. There is no condemnation. Instead, focus on what Jesus has done. And as the Holy Spirit moves us, as we actively love God and actively love one another, we can revel and rejoice and relax in our lives as children of God, holy and completely justified and sanctified, holy and completely free from condemnation. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.